This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's your favorite yeah. precipitation plus temperature sure. combo?
Damn, baby, all I need is
a little bit of sleep.
A little bit of this, a little bit of
sleep.
Damn, baby, all I need is a little
friggin' sleep.
A little bit of
sleep.
A little bit. All a nigga really needs is
a little bit of sleep.
Baby girl, just a little bit. All a nigga really needs is
a little bit of sleep.
Not a lot, baby girl, just a little bit.
Oh, and guess what? It's sleeting, though.
It's a little bit of sleep, though.
Oh, sleet, sleet, motherfucker. Oh, sleet, sleet. Whoa.
Nice.
That was written by 50th Cent.
50th Cent?
Or 50 cents.
50 cent?
Yes, 50 cent.
Are you serious?
And, oh, no, sorry, just a 50 cent cover. It was written by Wilson DeSimone, who wanted to give his girlfriend, Elena, a shout out. They're both big fans of the show.
Love that.
I love it even more because I'm a huge 50 Cent fan. And for him to do the remix about a little bit of sleep, though.
A little bit of sleep, though. And guess what else?
What?
There's a little bit of sleep, though.
It's funny to like sleet, which I think is the worst precipitation. Nobody likes sleet, right?
Sleet.
It's wet snow. It's ice.
Only if it's a little bit.
It's a
there
freezing
might be
rain.
Just a little bit of a sleet, though.
Nobody likes the sleet. No. Even if you can like the snow or like the rain. I don't know if anybody likes the sleet. It's just got a bad name. It's got a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully sleet, though. He's got a SoundCloud. And it appears to be soundcloud.com/Willy.
Four willies. Four willies.
Oh, that's good. It's like free willy, but four willy.
Oh,
that's right.
Nice. Well done.
So thanks for that. Thanks for that remix of a little bit of sleet, though.
A little bit of sleet, though.
Today is actually Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the Jewish New Year.
Happy New Year, bub.
Can you believe it? Do you know what Jewish New Year it is?
I think it's 48-9.
It is 5-7-7-8.
Wow.
Or maybe that was last year, and now it's 5-7-7-9.
So is it... All right, so... The Christian calendar
yes.
only measures the years after Jesus came.
And before Jesus was
but
alive.
Like, yeah, so they're like, oh, this is 28 BC.
That's right.
But either way, uh-huh. they only go back 5,000 years.
The Jewish calendar starts with the beginning of the Bible or the beginning of time as... dictated by the Bible. So it's like zero was God created the heavens and earth. And then 5,779 years later, according to the lunar calendar, because
right.
we follow the moon and not the sun.
But then they talk about like dinosaurs being 130 million years ago.
But there's no dinosaurs in the Bible.
There's no date though. There's no being like, oh yeah, the Mesozoic era was...
Yeah, when Moses was
five
there.
BC,
yeah.
like
they do that with BC, but not with Jewish calendar.
Right,
the Jewish calendar is not like.
But I mean, there's not even a BC. Like
no,
so the dinosaurs were in zero.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No, there's no dinosaurs. Time. Yeah, before time.
Well, Jewish people know there's dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, but I wonder what year they thought that was in the Jewish calendar.
They think God created dinosaurs.
That's right. And Abraham actually wrote a freaking stegosaurus. And Moses, he was on a T-Rex.
Why not just be like, oh yeah, all that shit was before God.
You know, I feel like there's an intelligent way to answer the question. I don't know. Because I know that it's 5779, but I don't know where they put dinosaurs on that list.
Right, because even the dinosaurs are different times, too. You know, the Stegosaurus wasn't the same time as the Brontosaurus.
Is that true?
I don't know. But there were different dinosaurs in different times.
We got to talk to a Jewish archaeologist.
That's Ross Geller.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you look at, like, Jerusalem and they say it's, I guess that's thousands of years old. God, I hate not knowing shit.
Really? I'm pretty comfortable with it.
So you're fine not knowing how Jews justify the idea of no dinosaurs.
Yeah, because I mean, there's no way to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really a need for me to find out how they do it,
how
they lie to themselves.
I really just want to know if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had a fucking pterodactyl
their
bar mitzvahs.
They did.
I want to know if... I want to know if Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah were not only living with their husbands, but living with a fucking... Mm-hmm. What's another dinosaur?
Mastodon. That's sort of a pterodactyl,
okay,
right?
Okay,
yeah. A T-Rex, a velociraptor.
God, can we just talk about basketball, something I know about, for Christ's sakes? I don't get any of this shit.
LeBron James.
I should say we just finished recording an episode of Buckets, my basketball podcast. So if you've gotten enough of If I Were You at the end of the show and want to listen to more of us.
Or if you got enough of us when we started saying sleet though again.
That's right. If you wanted to hear us talk about the National Basketball Association, I'm going to make sure that that episode is online right now.
Nice.
So when you're done with this, hop on over to Buckets, episode 3 with Jake Hurwitz.
In the can. LeBron James.
That's right. And this, unfortunately, is not a basketball podcast. This is an advice show.
Sadly for us.
We got to give people what they want, and that's the wisdom of these two, I want to say scholars, but... You've just heard us talk about calendars, years, and dinosaurs, so you know how smart we are.
Oh, I'm a dumbass. Proven dumbass.
But we are expert millennials. As 30-somethings, we've been in the game for a long time, and people are seeking our wisdom, our guidance, our advice. They'll email us, ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com, and they want to know how we would handle their life sticky situation. This guy actually gave his girlfriend a fake name, but we need to give him a fake name. The girl that he's naming in the question is named Alfalfador.
Alfalfador. So we'll call him Spanky.
That's good. Spanky writes, I'm in a conundrum. I met a girl named Alfalfador a few months back while working at a basketball game. She was also working, and during a slow time, we hit it off. She was a dime piece, a fine piece, a feminine specimen with a Kate Upton vibe to boot. Since then, we would talk every single shift we had together, and it was fun and flirty, and we actually had deep conversations.
Nice.
This is all during a basketball game. On the last day we were working together, I scored them digits. I have an awesome, rich, beautiful, selfless girlfriend that I may never have mentioned to Alfalfador. Alfalfador and I have texted a metric fuck ton since I got her number, and I could tell she's super into me. But even texting makes me feel guilty because I feel like I'm cheating on an emotional level. So my question is getting coffee or just hanging out with Alfalfador harmless? Should I let my girlfriend know about it, even though nothing physical is going on? Thanks, guys. Love, Spanky.
Is it harmless? Because that's what I need to hear right now.
Because I'm getting coffee with her, and coffee will turn into tea, and tea will turn into a Long Island iced tea. And I wasn't physical, but we were hanging out all night, and we had an awkward goodbye, having an amazing conversation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I haven't talked to Alfalfador about my girlfriend, so I'm deceiving her and my girlfriend at
two,
the same time.
For the price of fun.
Nice! What is he doing? He's just trying to scratch that itch. He wants to feel the sexy romance excitement times of a flirtation sesh while also having a girlfriend.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want the guilty conscience part either.
Sometimes you think it's casual scratching of an itch. You know, like when you pick your nose and you're just like, oh, I think there's a little.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but I'm not going to like stick my finger up my nose. But then you like sort of feel like this really nice big crusty burger.
Yeah.
And then you put your finger all the way in your nose, just being like, I'm not going to like yank this out of my nose. I just want to feel how big it is. And then you feel like it goes all the way up.
Oh, yeah,
to like
to the
near
top.
Your eye socket.
Yeah.
And you're like, deep. And then it's got like a tiny little corner off
down
the bottom. So you can just pull this whole entire thing off.
Oh, and that'll feel good because you can finally breathe
you
right again.
You really
again.
Just blow your nose. But then, no, here you go.
It
before
feels
you
good.
Know it,
scratching
you
that
are
itch.
Yanking the huge booger out of your nose. You turn to the left at a stoplight and you see a
your
horrified
girlfriend.
Family of four
staring at you, wondering what you're doing. You're like, oh shit.
That's what's happening right now.
He's tiptoeing forward. He's moving up the nose.
But you don't want to tease yourself with somebody that's actually beautiful and you feel a connection to.
Yeah.
That's not like teasing. That's not scratching an itch. That's
She'll feel misled. You don't text a stranger who's attractive of the opposite gender and not mention your girlfriend and then think it's fine and that it's not cheating. So what you're doing is not harmless.
It's harmful.
And you're trending towards making it even more harmful. But what can you do? You can either break up with your girlfriend and pursue this other interest or stay with your girlfriend and break off these flirtations. At what point can you stop a flirtation where it's not harmful?
I think there's still time for him now.
Oh, you think he hasn't gone too far?
No, I mean they're texting a lot, but if he's asking, is it harmless if I get coffee? That's because he wants to, you know, like
yeah.
So I think it. We'll say I'll go on record saying it's harmful if you guys go get coffee. So
texting.
Here's where you can. I mean, you should stop texting too. But here's where you cut it off. If she says like, "Hey, we should like, why don't we get a drink or why don't we get coffee?" You say. I'd like to, but I actually have a girlfriend, so I should probably chill out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But at what point, even in the grand scheme of things, does harmless flirtation become harmful flirtation? Is it the getting of the number? Is that not allowed?
I think all of it's more based on how he's feeling, isn't it? Like, if talking to Alfalfador makes him feel more distant and resentful of his girlfriend and like withdrawn from her, then that's harmful. That's detrimental to the relationship.
Is there a world where talking and flirting and texting and meeting isn't somehow adversely affecting his relationship?
No, because even if he's not feeling those things, if his girlfriend were to find out that he was getting coffee with this hot girl that he met at work and had been texting a lot with, then it would be harmful. Like, she would feel jealous and sad and hurt by it.
I think it's the texting that's really, like, the next level. Like, talking to someone at work, you can justify. It's a work flirt. It's a meet cute. It's a company in romance.
Yeah.
Once you text and then it's, like, all night and it's during whenever and you have access and it's exciting and you see their name in your phone and there's
chatting.
That has
taken the next step.
Yeah. And then meeting is an even bigger next step. I don't even think you should be texting, let alone meeting. Although,
yeah, because she wouldn't have gotten the number. I don't think you don't give out your number to somebody when you're in a relationship.
I would say texting, meeting, or chatting at work to texting is a bigger leap than texting to meeting up. I think texting is like the big step because that's 24/7 access to your brain, your mind, your chatting.
Yeah.
And then you start hiding shit on the phone. That's when you
but
put
like,
your
it's all
phone
the
face
it's all
down.
The path to fucking,
yeah.
Which is actual cheating.
Yes.
So
it's the road to death.
Right.
If you know that there's death 100 feet away, do you cover your eyes and take 40 steps towards death? That seems a little dangerous. Because what if your steps start becoming longer? What if you start making a wrong turn? What if you start risking?
You realize it's a slippory slope.
That's right. It's going down. You can actually fall down and slide and then fall off the mountain. And the closer you get, the harder it is to avoid.
Right.
Not unlike a
slippery
slope. Because
you have to go back up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that back up sometimes results in your girlfriend not wanting to let you back up.
Yep.
So this guy has to sort of make a decision who he wants to be with. And that's his decision to make. He can break up with someone. That's fine.
Right. But this duplicity, I don't condone it.
No. Nor should you. So stop being duplicitous, Spanky. You duplicitous Spanky. and make a decision. You can't have it both ways.
Correct.
Here's a 15-year-old Dane who we'll call Dane Cook.
Nice.
Hi, I'm a 15-year-old guy with a problem. My classmates like to party, and so do I, but they only invite people who drink. This is where the problem begins, my fellow snatch lovers. And no, I'm not a fucking nerd that faints when smelling alcohol, but I just don't feel like trying it yet. I don't really need to. But this keeps my classmates and friends from inviting me to their parties. And don't mistake me, I'm not really shy. I'm known as a funny guy in class, which I enjoy being. But how can I get them to invite me? Am I being a diva with this? Some extra info. I play basketball. You can find out that I searched basketball to find these questions.
I see.
I'm 6'3", and yes, I'm bragging. And this also keeps me from being able to party Friday nights. These party hats do a bit of weed. Isn't this crazy as 15-year-olds? And also, I live in the capital of Denmark, Copenhagen. Another crazy thing is that all my female classmates have done a blowjob. And one has even gotten some ding-dong in her hole on the backside. I'm going to high school next year. Peace.
Wait, 15 and he's not in high school yet?
Man, who knows what the fuck is going on in Copenhagen?
When did you start? You didn't start doing any of this stuff till college.
Yeah, I wasn't even invited to drinking parties until I was like 16, 17. But I was allowed to be there, but I didn't want to drink because I was afraid of getting in trouble.
Right, and I was drinking as a 14-year-old and getting into lots of trouble.
14, that's so young. Was it a party or was it just like two friends in a basement?
In between that. We didn't ever have like rager parties.
When did cool parties start? Like 17-year-olds hanging out by a pool drinking alcohol.
I guess that was like, for me, that was high school. Like junior and senior year, we'd have parties at people's houses when they left
when kids
town.
Could drive.
Yeah.
Just when it was dangerous enough to start drinking.
I think even in high school, we like for the most part had like DDs though.
Oh, so like you were smart about it even then.
I mean, not that smart because we're 16 getting shit-faced at random house parties.
How do you cover a hangover from a parent? Like I can understand maybe like trying not to act as drunk as possible, but then the next day when you're just like puking, dehydrated, tired and sweaty.
When you're 16, you don't really get as much hangovers.
Interesting.
I was definitely, got like one or two hangovers my entire, and I would drink all the time.
Interesting. I wonder if there's some sort of science behind that. Anyway, don't drink before you're legally allowed to, kids.
Of course.
This guy wants to get invited to parties, and he can't do it. Why can't he get invited and not drink? Were there non-drinkers? Did you know any sober 16-year-olds at these drunken parties?
Yeah, and I don't really remember it being a big deal. But like maybe if you're like, we're all going to steal liquor from my parents' liquor cabinet, and we don't want to invite this guy because he doesn't drink. But I don't know. I don't really remember. I sort of remember being like, oh, if you're not going to drink, that's great because we could only get this much alcohol anyway.
I remember like being at these parties like first and I was just like, this is insane. Like how this guy's saying, they also all do drugs. Isn't that crazy? I felt like I had been fed information my whole young adult life of like, don't drink, don't do drugs. And then I went to this party and everyone was ignoring the rules. I'm like, hello, like what is going on here?
Putting out a cigarette, dumping a beer down the sink.
Such reckless abandon. How does nobody care about the big overarching biggest rule of life, which is don't do drugs? This is nuts to me. Like everyone's just, you know, doing this stuff that we've been like brainwashed, I thought, not to do, but I feel like I'm the only one who's following the rules here.
Yeah. Well, I think that illustrates the fact that people sort of run the gamut of like when they're ready to start partying.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I still started in college, which was a little bit earlier than the legal amount. But and then there are some people who wait until 21 to drink. But
and there's some people that just don't like
drinking at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about just being comfortable in your own skin. I don't think people are not inviting you to parties because you don't drink. Like, put yourself out there and say you want to come to the parties. I'm sure they wouldn't be like, no, you can't come because you don't drink. And if they do say that, fuck them. Hang out with somebody else.
Do you think you're getting over drinking? Like, is it going down a little bit for you?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Like, you don't feel the urge to get drunk.
I feel like if anything, I feel more the urge. I still like the way alcohol tastes, and I like the way it makes me feel.
Of course.
But, like, I definitely don't. I used to, like, when I was living in New York, I would be like, oh, I'm going to, like, skip dinner or eat a light dinner so I can, like,
get drunker faster.
Yeah, and like I want to go out and dance and go to a bunch of bars, and like if I eat food, then I'll feel like heavy. And now I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have like a couple drinks, so I'm gonna eat a big ass dinner so I don't get too drunk.
Right.
So I'm definitely like trying to manage
drinking.
Yeah.
In a more healthier way.
But I'm not necessarily stopping at the same time.
Right. But are you slowing down actively, or is it just like less in your life because...
I guess it's just less in my life. I don't party as much, which is fine, which is good.
You're a fucking loser, dude.
It's weird. You would think... Or I would think that like I would miss it, be like, oh man, I used to party with, like, now I have to go home.
Yeah.
But like that part of my brain is like not that.
It's been dulled, and not by alcohol, right, but by healthier activity.
Yeah. Now I like the idea of like going on a hike on Saturday.
And it really should be 9 because it's supposed to be pretty hot out.
That's right.
And I'd hate to be hungover on the hike.
Yeah. And you basically every time you're in a relationship, you kind of like don't like drinking as much.
Yeah. Like I use drinking as like a social lubricant to meet new people. And when I'm in a relationship, I don't need to meet new people. I don't need new friends and I don't need new ladies. So like, why am I out and about getting drunk where I'm like, I instantly start feeling hungover after the second drink now, because like it's such like a mental thing where I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why do I need to be loose right now?
Yeah.
I have everything that I need. I don't need to be like less inhibited.
I think I still like getting drunk and partying, but it's just like, whereas before I would do it at least twice a week, and even earlier than that, I would do it like almost every night.
Yeah.
Like, all right, no, I really have to like stay in tonight. It's Monday. So now I'm like, it happens maybe every 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
Where we'll have a friend in town, or I'll be traveling and I'll meet up with somebody and be like, all right, let's like have a couple drinks. Let's go out to 3 more bars. I did it last week in New York with the Rosies and Mikey and Nick and Vinny, and that was real fun.
You got wasted?
Not wasted, but we like stayed out till 2.
Which used to be early in New York.
Right. I mean, we definitely could have stayed out for 3 more drinks, but right. Yeah.
No need.
Although, I guess that's as hard as I party now.
There are friends of ours that like stay out till like 5 or 6, even if it's like drinking by themselves, which I really don't get. Like, what, you're back at your place of sleep and now you're still hanging out and drinking. Like,
yeah.
Don't you like to sleep from 2 to 6? Like, why get drunk and then sleep less? That doesn't compute to me.
I watched the sun come up at Carnell's wedding, and I remember that. I remember feeling, I'm looking down and be like, oh my God, it's 6. What the fuck have I done?
Yeah. Who stays up so late? Maybe it's just us getting older. But anyway, what should this 15-year-old do? Try to get an invite to the party, even if you're not drinking. And if, what's the point of hanging out with people who are getting shit-faced if you're not?
That's true.
These parties probably aren't as fun as you think.
This guy sounds like he has some self-confidence, though. So I don't think, I mean, just like ask to be invited to the party, make people laugh and be sober and it's fine.
I wonder if he can dunk. 6'3", 15 years old, Danish.
And yeah, in Denmark, the hoops are 8 feet.
Yeah, that's legal there. The drinking age 16 and the rims are 9.
Yeah, the drinking age is like 18 there, isn't it?
I would assume.
It's less.
All right, you don't have that much longer to go. Stay sober for now. What are we calling? Oh, Dane Cook.
Yeah.
You're almost there. All right, let's take a break, thank some sponsors, and we'll be back with more questions and answers after this.
Woo!
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right,
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a list. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Sure don't. Do you?
Yeah. Great. So here's what I'm thinking. This one's a little minute. It's a little unfair to me. It's sad. And it's inconsequential to 99% of you.
Got it.
But for those who it does help, here's my little tidbit. And it really is a tid of a bit of advice. In Instagram, we all know that stories have slowly started to trickle out, take over. They've ostensibly killed Snapchat for me. And they're honestly starting to hurt Instagram for me because it's like it's seemingly becoming all about these stories. And these stories feel like an even bigger waste of time than Instagram, because now Instagram is at least a place for people to post their important, nice photos. And stories are just the garbage bin of the internet.
Right. You have to go through a little bit of a process to post a photo.
Yeah. The story,
filter,
I'm just
tag, a place.
Shitting stuff up there. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's a poll. Sometimes it's just a fucking picture of a dog.
Shit that's not good enough for main Instagram.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because more people see the story.
So I've noticed that if you scroll down a little bit, I don't know what the algorithm is, but at a certain point, Instagram gives you a nice little strip of people's stories as a preview.
Right, because it's trying to get you to go back to the top and watch the stories. Instagram wants you to watch the stories.
That's
right. So if you scroll past the stories, it'll be like, hey, you missed these stories.
That's right. Are you sure you want to miss the stories? Don't you want to click on the stories? I found that the story strip, which is not big enough to actually consume, is a little bit of a nicotine patch that scratches the urge of the story, lets you consume stories faster, and makes it so people can't see that you looked at people's
That's
story.
What it's really about for you. So you love people not... you love it when people think, oh, Amir didn't watch my story.
It's just get a nice little fucking shit. Attaboy that you never see my name in the list of names.
Oh, you
Amir's too
shit.
Busy. Amir's too cool. No, he's
no,
not.
No, Amir's too proud.
He has a podcast.
Amir's overthought this.
And he gives you a tip about the strip. It's a strip tip. And my strip tip, for those who don't want to be nipped or stripped or tipped, is instead of going mindlessly through these stories of people you don't care about, people that you don't follow, that like, you definitely don't want to show that you've put any extra attention or effort into their lives.
That's true.
Consume the strip. Use the strip
to
get
you off.
So your
advice isn't like, hey, get off Instagram.
No.
Smell a flower.
Oh,
go on
God.
A hike. Connect with a loved one.
Do not do
over
that.
Lunch.
Uh-huh. Don't make any meaningful real life connections.
Like, I can get you high faster.
I can game the system so that you're still using it in a different way.
More stories, quicker, straight to the vein.
And most importantly, no little name that says you've consumed that person's story.
Very interesting.
Have you ever like screen grabbed a person's avatar and blown it up because you don't want to follow them on Instagram, but you want to know what they look like?
No.
Yeah, me neither. But could you imagine
you
a world?
You have absolutely done that.
So you screen grab the little circular thumbnail that's so small. It's very blurry. And then you stretch it out. You blow it up. You get a good
idea. Because you can't request. You don't want to request a follow.
You don't want to request a follow. That's... Where do you get off being private?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That does make sense to me.
Two tips for the price of fun.
I used to do that thing, you know, like you would be watching one story and if you hold down, it pauses it and you can sort of go halfway to the next one and be like, oh, I can like see this person's story, but I don't want them to know that I watched it.
I thought that was a Snapchat thing. You can actually, you can go to the next story by sliding over.
Yeah, exactly.
And not fully consuming the story.
Correctamundo, bud.
That's pretty good. That's a good tip. And then... have you ever gotten like lost in an Instagram story like feed and then you like you end up on someone that like you didn't want to see their shit? You're like, shit, they fucking tricked me into like sliding into my ex-girlfriend's stories. I didn't even want to see it.
Yep, sure have.
Oh, and to make matters worse, she posted it 2.5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I'm the only freaking name on the feed.
That's
and she has
right.
128
as soon as she
followers.
Looks, yeah, she knows.
It's prominent. It's got the check mark next
she
to
knows.
It. She sees it. She knows it. All right, that's my tip.
I like it.
Let's get back to some solicited advice. Okay, this one's from a lady who seems to be very mad.
Ooh.
Who's a madder lady than Kamala Harris, who is just bringing it to Kavanaugh on these hearings?
Awesome.
I mean,
I wouldn't call her mad. I'd call her responsible.
That's right. She's upset, but in a good way.
Yeah.
That the Trump is trying to slide this guy into our Supreme Court, not on her watch.
Stay heated.
Ms. Harris writes, my bitch-ass husband never wanted to have sex as much as I did. He didn't enjoy initiating, and when he actually had sex, he was so damn fast that he was done before I started. He claimed that sex was not that important to him. Recently, he cheated on me and told me that it was better with the other person. So my question is, how do I not fall into a pit of despair? Signed, obviously separated.
That wasn't, you just read that in an angry voice.
It was mad.
She was sad.
She was angry.
She said her question is, how do I not fall into a pit of despair?
Yeah, but she also called her husband a bitch ass who didn't want to have sex. Bitch ass isn't sad. It's
I guess
pissed.
So. But it's, I to me, at that question, right, it's like, my bitch ass husband.
Yeah, to me it rang it. My bitch ass husband. But it seems like the answer to her question is in the question itself. He never wanted to have sex. He wasn't that good at it. And now you get to have sex
and
do it with people
really
who are good
mean.
At it.
Yeah, this guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Go out and get laid, dude. The way you don't fall into a pit of despair is to do all of the things that is so great about or are so great about being single. And that is reconnecting with your friends and your family. People that like didn't get to see you enough or didn't get to see you being yourself because you were always around this shitty asshole dude, this bitch ass husband. And then like that's what gets you feeling more like yourself and ready for dating.
I wonder what's better, when a really sweet person says they don't want to be with you anymore, but they were very nice and friendly throughout the whole relationship and things were going great, or when a person like this is mean, bad at sex, cheated on you and said it was better. Like, do you want the other, do you want your loved one to be mean to you so you can get over it faster, or do you want it to be sweet so that you're like pining forever?
I don't know, because it's not like, I don't think you really get over being cheated on and then told that the sex with the other person was better.
Yeah, but
like that's like, that is very, it's cut and dry that you should not be with that person.
Yeah.
But it's still like a pretty detrimental thing to say and do.
It's trauma.
Yeah.
But so here's my theory. I think when someone's mean to you and a cheater and a meaner, then you're angry at first, but it goes away faster because you're like, fuck this guy.
Right, what was I doing?
And when a sweet person does it, it might not be as sad as the cheating and the meaning, but it cheating lasts for longer.
Yeah, the confusion.
Yeah, so it's a longer tail, but not as high of a start.
I don't think I've ever been like broken up with somebody, but I've never been broken up with by someone who was like, I thought everything was going fine. And then just one day they pulled the rug out from under me and they were like, actually, I don't want to be with you.
So
every time I've broken up with somebody,
it's been too late.
It's been very clear for a long time that it was ending.
Yeah. It's been a slow crossfade to black.
Yeah.
Which I guess is another way of doing it. But this way seems better for me. I'm just saying now you can, you know, you should be excited, not pissed about it.
Yeah, use it as an opportunity. This is a cool thing.
And congratulations.
This guy's a piece of shit. Congrats indeed.
Yeah, because you would have stayed married to this piece of shit
and
forever.
Had bad sex, and yeah. He would have been a piece of shit.
I wonder if they probably don't have kids either, right? She would have mentioned something.
I bet she would have. We'd love a follow-up pup on how you're feeling now that you're getting back out there.
I wonder if how good conception was affects the child. So like IQs in kids that were conceived in sex that was considered great versus how kids turn out in sex that was considered bad.
Probably, is there any way to measure that?
Yeah. Orgasm strength, volume.
But then like, how do you know which time you got pregnant? Like if you have sex 3 times in a week.
Yeah. I've never done that, the have sex to have kids. I want to talk to friends of mine that have gone through that because I wonder is different.
Yeah.
Or if it's like almost like methodical, medical, like you have to do it this way.
Yeah. I think there are like certain positions that are like better for the sperm to travel to the egg in.
Yeah. Or is that all just like an old wives' tale? Like you don't eat salt or don't eat meat or do it on a this or do it like this.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if like the kids are smarter in sex where like you had a condom on, but like it's this.
Oh, accidental pregnancies,
right? Because then it's almost like, oh, this sperm was extra smart and like got through the condom, like yeah. Against all odds.
It was like being born at all is like a billion to one because there's so many sperm. But the fact that this sperm navigated through that defense.
Fucking latex.
They probably all become kick returners. Imagine Devin Hester as a fucking sperm.
I won't because I can't because I don't know who that is.
But could you imagine an awesome punt returnsman navigating a latex shield like he does the defense?
Wes Welker?
That's right. A Wes Welker type. He's already small and white, which I assume is what sperm is. All right. One last question.
Let's do it.
This lady is not unlike the first lady, but maybe a little bit different. This lady who we'll call Tad Shanty.
Nice.
Writes, long story short, I fucked one of my brother's best friends recently without my brother's knowledge of us being in contact, let alone spending a weekend together and fucking. Some back info, I'm 24 and my bro and his friends are 26. I've known about him for 4 years passively. The BFF and I have been texting and calling and FaceTiming each other constantly for the past 1 to 2 months. Wow. At the end of this spontaneous weekend, I decided that I'd actually be down to be this guy's friend. But since he left, he's been a little distant and not present in our conversations. Sad face. Should I let it go and passively ghost him or continue maybe making an effort to birth a possible friendship? Also, what do y'all think about how my bro might feel about my BFF and I being his BFF and I being friends? Side note, homie made me orgasm. Needless to say, the sex was great. Fire emoji. Also, I've been listening to D&D Pod lately, so added points if y'all want to roleplay this situation. Thanks for your POV, boys. Tad Shanty.
All right, Tad.
What do you think? I think she's kind of getting ghosted.
Yeah, it seems like...
he's been distant. Should I ghost him?
I think, right.
The sex was awesome.
But he's not talking to me, so should I ghost this asshole? I think it sounds like you guys both came to the same conclusion after this weekend, that the relationship, a romantic one, isn't worth pursuing.
But the exciting weekend was still good.
Yeah. So now she's saying, like, I'll be friends with him. And he's saying, I want out.
I'm done here-ish. I think maybe I'm reading too much into it. I think she wants to have sex with him again. And he is seemingly distant. And she's sort of convincing herself by saying, I just wanted to remain friends, but he's being so cold and distant. Maybe I should ghost him. That's the narrative that I have in my mind.
I see. And I think that this guy is probably, like, it got a little too real. He's nervous about, like, needing to tell his best friend that he fucked his sister and that he's, like, gonna, like, start dating her. So he's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I gotta bail.
It's like the difference between right before having sex and right after having sex, personified. As a man, after you're done having sex, the last thing you want to do is have sex right away again. Right. And they're in that phase now where he's like, I don't need it as much as I did the first time.
Right. The FaceTiming and the texting, that was all like ramping up to this one crazy weekend.
Yeah.
And now, like the questioning of what it was is settling in.
Yeah.
That like my best friend's going to be super mad and maybe he's nervous too. He's like, oh no. And what if she's like falling for me and I have to like, this whole thing comes to a head.
Yeah. And so, this lady who had an orgasm and the sex was great. That's probably more rare for a lady to have a great orgasm and great sex. And she wants more. She doesn't want less of it.
Which
so,
I believe that she doesn't want a relationship with him and she just wants to be his friend.
I don't think so. Why would you want to only be friends with someone who made you have a great orgasm and the sex was great?
Well, a lot of people have great orgasms, man. I don't know.
I would like to talk to her, but unfortunately all we have is this email. So.
I think she recognizes the sex was great, but yep. Doesn't want to like keep on fucking him or dating him. And she's like, but I want to be his friend because that's like the norm. I feel like girls mostly do like the normal healthy thing.
Yeah.
Like, I had sex with this person. I like them. I'm not like, don't see them as a dating future for, I don't see a future of dating them. So I'll just be friends because we had this crazy weekend where we fucked each other and that's the right thing to do. And he's like, I'm scared now, so we'll never speak of this.
Yeah, I think she wants to be friends because she would prefer this next 1.5 months, 1 to 2 months, to go like the last 1 to 2 months.
Yeah, and
flirting, FaceTiming, and an amazing weekend abroad.
You're in my eyes, incorrect assessment of this is what the whole entire problem with society seems to be.
Which is?
That you are putting the expectations on her.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, this girl wants to date me, so I'm going to ignore her. Meanwhile, she is saying, I want to be this guy's friend and not keep on fucking him. But his
why would
like,
she want to be friends with him, though?
Because that's like a normal thing to do.
I don't think girls want to befriend guys they fucked and gave them great sex. I don't think that's true. But maybe I'm wrong. That's happened once or twice before. We really got to get this lady on the show.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could talk to
like
her.
This guy.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's a secret. But I want to know what she thinks. I don't know. She's a D&D podcast listener. So she'll at the very least want to talk to Hard One about it.
Hey.
maybe we'll do a live follow-up with this lady next week. Really get to the bottom of it.
Love that.
All right. That's what we think. We're split. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Either way, this relationship is doomed, so don't. I'm for you ghosting him.
Really? I'm against ghosting. Again, we disagree, but that's probably because we disagree about the premise of the question.
That's right.
You're for ghosting this guy.
Yeah.
All right. But she's going to see him around. Best friend.
Yeah, then the tension will be real. And then that's exactly what you think she wants.
and then she gets sex again.
Right.
Yes, dude.
Some combination of what Amir and I said is right, almost always.
Find the
or
average.
Or super wrong.
All right. Thanks for writing in. The email address for questions and theme songs is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We do appreciate it. Again, there's an episode of my basketball podcast, Buckets, where Jake and I discuss the NBA, his relationship to it, and Jake asked me questions about this upcoming season. So if that sounds of interest to you, check that out as at HeadGum as well. We'll be back, I believe, next week. Same time as always.
Same place.
Monday, y'all. Oh, the closing theme song. Let me pull it up. This is a good one. 1 second.
Yep.
Of course.
Take your time.
Yeah.
No. Yep. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need to do.
Yep. And it's fine. And it's
that
good.
It's fine. And we won't even edit this out, even though we should.
That's right. We don't need to, as long as you fill up every silence with a little bit of talking.
And hey, how about a song? Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
Brachistochrone? I don't know if that's his real name or his rap name, but he says he's never rapped a day in his life, so he apologizes if your coy little Jew ears can't handle it. Well, sir, we can handle it. And he has something to promote, the goddamn city of Detroit. I swear to God, if you won't die if you come here, and you can hold me personally accountable. We did a show in Detroit once.
We sure did.
So I resent the accusation, Brachistochrone. But thanks for writing the theme song. Let's let them play us out. Ciao for now.
How would you show these two boys that you know they'll help with all your problems, son? Maybe you just can't see the cheese, but the one time you try, you get a disease. Put you on blast, heck, they'll make fun of you ass, but if you're lucky, they might say something really insightful.
My name? It's funny you ask, because I have a very ordinary name.
If I were you, show at gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.